Well, Governor Kelly earlier this week said August state government tax revenue of nearly $23 million above projections reflected greater than last year collections of your income tax and retail sales tax. Whoopee! Topeka collected more of your money. Isn't that great news? Kelly said total state tax revenue for the month hit $665 million, which was $22.8 million and 3.5% above the estimate developed in April by state budget and economic analysts. Tax collections by the Kansas Department of Revenue during August were 4% higher than in August of last year. So what does this all mean? Well, let's ask Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you with us again, my friend.
Well, it's always good to be here, John, but what happened to the Laura Kelly bumper music?
Yeah, well, you know, Phil and I were just going through that, and we're out of practice is what it comes down to. Phil is my new producer, and you know what? I think actually we were having a brain, we were having a senior moment, we were having a Joe Biden moment, and neither of us could remember what it is.
Look, I was depressed. I was really ready for that Laura Kelly bumper music, and it didn't happen.
We honestly couldn't remember it. All right, Dan, what is it? We can't remember what it was. It was
like, I don't remember, but if I heard it, I'd tell you.
Trust me, we will figure it out. It's just Aerosmith. I can't remember what it is. It's driving me crazy. But yes, we will get it. Trust me.
Got to get it back.
I know we will. Well, I mean, this is so frustrating. Laura Kelly has even more of our money than expected. And, you know, I guess what I drew from this is that she could have afforded the single rate tax cut that you guys proposed. But this just means that she could have afforded it. But turns out she just wants to spend that money.
Well, you know, John, here's the deal. You know, Laura Kelly says a lot of things that are, I would say, very political in nature for her. She's the governor that's not political, but she's very political. Quite frankly, she vetoed four tax bills that had a property tax decrease in it, and she vetoed them all because she said, you know, it was fiscally irresponsible. And quite frankly, she's not responsible to the taxpayers, and you can see that in everything she does.
There you go, Dan.
So there
it is.
Go. That's it. That's the one. Now I'm feeling good.
Now we're feeling really good. We're not going to take it anymore.
Not going to take it anymore. Yeah. So you know, when we had the special session, she brought us back for a special session, and we were able to pass a tax bill without the property tax relief.
Right.
Simply because she said that we didn't have enough money. Well, we've got plenty of money. We've had plenty of money. And when we come back in January to session, I would say we're probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 billion in the bank. And it's growing. It's continuing to grow. We are going to push for property tax relief. Now, everybody knows that the only thing that we have in the form of property tax is our 20 mills, actually 21 and a half mills, but 20 mills for education, which we wanted to take off 2 mills. And that's about a $90 million spend. I think we're probably going to push more for what our tax chair, Adam Smith, out of West King, Kansas, wants, and that's to get us down around that 16 and three quarters mills, which, you know, that's $120 million. I would say with what we have, we can sustain, and it's truly going to be responsible for us to return that money to our taxpayers in the form of tax relief on that 20 mills. So.
Well, and clearly, based on what this is consistent now that we're seeing revenues coming in above expectations. So clearly we can afford to do additional tax relief. It's what you've said all along. The problem is Laura Kelly just keeps wanting to spend the money. She doesn't want to have to be fiscally conservative.
Well, it's her brand of fiscal conservatism, I would say. It's not our brand.
Right.
What she says is fiscally conservative is her having enough money to start all the programs that she wants, spend all the money she wants. That's not what we want. We want to make sure that we get money back to our taxpayers. And people across the state need to remember that. When it comes to this election, You know, do you want to continue sending more money into the state, or do you want to send less? If you want to send less, you're going to elect those fiscally conservative Republicans up in Johnson County and elsewhere, so we can do that.
And we're not even talking about the reserves. There's still massive reserves.
No. It's just adding to the reserves now. I mean, 23.5 million over where we were supposed to be. That's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. Yeah, I saw another tweet. She tweets out a lot. Well, she doesn't, but someone on her staff does. But she tweeted out again today about rural hospitals and they're struggling and how Medicaid expansion is just going to save them. She is like a dog with a bone on this thing, Dan. I mean, she is just not giving up on Medicaid expansion, is she?
Well, she's not, and guess what? I'm not going to go anywhere, and as long as I'm here, I'm going to fight it to the end. We're not going to do Medicaid expansion. There was just an article came out recently. I believe we put it in the Record.
Yeah, you did.
In fact, I think it was in the Record this last Friday from a group that said that Medicaid expansion actually hurts rural hospitals, hurts rural hospitals more than anybody. And so isn't it interesting that now all of a sudden we have these articles coming out from different folks that have not been in the hunt, not in the game on Medicaid expansion, and now they're saying, listen, whoa, slow down here. You know, if we do Medicaid expansion, we're going to hurt these rural hospitals, not help them. I think that's very interesting. And then you've got a governor that continues to want to push Medicaid expansion, which he will. But Dan Hawkins is still in the legislature, plan to still be there the next 2 years, and we're going to continue to stop it.
Well, part of the problem is, you and I both know, the vast majority of the monies that come to states through the federal government through Medicaid expansion don't go to rural hospitals. The vast majority of that money goes to the large cities and the large hospitals in those cities. In this case, it would be KU Med Center, it would be Via Christi, St. Francis, St. Joseph, the big hospitals. The little bit of money that would trickle down to these rural hospitals would be a Band-Aid. It would not make any significant difference.
Let me give your listeners some figures. 25% of all Medicaid expansion dollars go to KU and Via Christi. That's where it goes. 55% goes to the top 10 hospitals in the state. 7.3%. 7.3% go to the rural hospitals.
And that gets split amongst all of them.
All of them, yeah.
So that's
like
nothing.
The lowest one's about $6,000 a year.
So that's a pit. What is $6,000 going to do for a rural hospital? That's nothing.
Nothing.
That barely nothing. Buys their toilet paper. I mean, it's not going to... That's... Again...
They might buy some Kleenexes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, but Laura Kelly's out there on Twitter almost on a daily basis saying how Medicaid expansion is going to save rural hospitals.
Laura Kelly thinks that is a great campaign piece to fire up her base, but that's all it fires up is her base. It doesn't fire up anybody else.
Dan, you mentioned it, and I know we're coming up on a break, but I want to give you a chance again. We're through the midterms. We've had you on already to talk about it, but now is, you know, it's that time of year, and we're coming up on... you know, really the heat of it. Folks are already starting to vote in some states. There are major elections here in Sedgwick County, Sandy Pickard. You know, Sweeley out in Hutchinson. If there are folks here in Wichita that are, you know, in grassroots folks that want to door knock or get involved in some of the races, what are the big ones here down in particularly in this audience listening area that they should be working on?
So in our area, we've got Webb Roth down in Winfield that could probably use just a little bit of help, but he's going to do fine. He just needs a little help. Sandy Pickard's where we're really going to spend most of our time in Sedgwick County. We've got people going over and working with her. If you want to call her, your folks want to call her and go over and help walk. So that's what she needs. She needs help going door to door. Kyler Sweeley, of course, over there in Hutchinson against Democrat Jason Probst. That's going to be a big race. That's one that we can win. We just need people over there helping out. You know, then from there, the rest of them are quite a ways away. Manhattan's a big one with Angel Roser. She's got a pretty tough race. And then the rest of them are all up in the northeast, up in the Johnson County area. Randy Roth, Kurt Ruff, Lauren Bohai, and Charlotte Esau. Those are our big pickups. And then we got some defense up there that we've got to play. Carl Turner, Laura Williams, Adam Turk, a couple others, Mike Thompson. So we've got a lot of big races across the state, and we just need help in every one of them.
I've heard about another name that has come up recently, Christopher Parisho. Is that a race that we could win in the 95th by any chance?
You know, any race is possible. There's possible and there's probable. That race has Tom Sawyer in it, the Democrat that's been there for 30-some years. He's well-known. I think he can put probably a lot of money in it. It still makes it tough to win. But I wouldn't say it can't be won. I would just say the probability is not so good.
Jill Ward seems to be doing okay. I mean, she's up against John Burke, who was just a real pain in the butt when I worked with him in Hayesville. I'm so glad to see. She seems to be doing pretty good, though. I know she's working real hard.
Yeah, she's a tough gal. She gets out there and she works hard. She'll win it. Jill Ward's going to be a great representative when she gets up there, so I'm not too worried about her, but certainly she can use the help. I mean, she's out walking every day, working hard to win that race, and she'll win it.
Tom Kessler still doing okay down in Hayesville?
Tom is, the thing Tom has is he is known by every single person in his district. I mean, you can't be in that part of town and not know Tom Kessler. And so Tom's out there working, and he's working hard. He doesn't take it for granted, but I can't imagine anybody beating him.
Okay, good. Well, and how about Cindy Howerton? She's still doing okay?
She's doing good. Cindy's a great representative up here already also, just like Tom Kessler. She's not taking it for granted. She's out there working hard, and she'll do okay in her district. Nick Hoheisel, he's okay. Nick's actually out helping some others, even though he's got a race. Pat Penn's okay, but Pat's also out there helping others. He has a race also, but he has time to help some other people. So we got a great set of representatives and candidates down in Sedgwick County, and our current representatives are out there helping everybody, making sure that they're going to get across the line.
That's what it takes. Dan, if folks want to help, if they're involved, is the best way for them to maybe reach out to Deb Lucia at the Sedgwick County Republican Party or maybe Blake Carpenter? Do they reach out to Blake? What's the best way?
I got to tell you, either one of those, Blake is kind of running our system down there. He's keeping track of everybody. He's got a spreadsheet. He has basically a weekly place for us to go. So he keeps track of where we're going to go, and he rounds people up and takes them wherever we're going to work that week. Last week, I think it was, we were in Manhattan working for Angel Roser. So every weekend, he's got a list of places to go and work. So Blake's probably, for us, a good place. Deb Lucia is probably good too, but I think Blake knows exactly where we need to have people and when we need them there. So,
well, brother, I appreciate you as always. I'm sure we will have you on again before the election, but keep up the good work. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to sign up for your newsletter, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Dan Hawkins, Kansas, and Kansas is spelled out danhawkinskansas.com.
Dan, I love you as always. I'm sure I'll see you again here soon at something. We've got a lot of events coming up. I'm sure I'll see you there.
Oh, you bet. We'll see you, John.